You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, we're in a festive mood. I will say I am, and my new best friend, Todd Fritz.
Yeah, let's get it going.
Here in the man cave, having our own Christmas party of sorts. We got festive sweaters on today.
2 days before Christmas Eve.
Every day is Christmas here.
Oh, I like
yes.
that. That's very
Fritzy's
nice.
Got a Broncos hat that lights up.
It lights up with little red and green lights. How great is that? I ordered this once a while ago, and it came back, and it wasn't working. I was so upset. The light wouldn't go on. I changed the battery. It still wouldn't work. I got a defective one, but now I got a good one.
Great. Great. So I get to look at that all day.
It's going to just be blinking around for the next 3 hours.
All day.
Awesome.
Come on in. Stay a while. Gang's all here ready to go. Tony Dungy will join us coming up. We got some problems with the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll talk to Aqib Talib, the former defensive back, now working for Fox Sports. I think he's fun. He's a fun listen. He's not for everybody, I'm sure, but I enjoyed him. He did the Eagles-Cardinals game, and he tells you in a different way of how it really is. We'll talk to Nick Wright from Fox Sports. He'll join us a little bit later on as well. Your phone calls, always welcome, 877-3DP-SHOW. You can tweet us at DP Show. Say good morning to our Fox Sports Radio lineup and our TV partner, Peacock. McLovin will have a poll question. We got a play of the day. We got a stat of the day. We got football coming up later on today. Tulane in Nevada, Central Florida, and BYU. NBA tonight, Warriors, Nets, Clippers, and the Lakers. We found a bowl game for Army. Army is going to the Liberty Bowl, where Army will take on West Virginia. We lost Hall of Famer, the linebacker Kevin Green, passing away at the age of 58, the former Pittsburgh Steelers. Bengals beat the Steelers 27-17. It was less than a month ago. We were comparing this year's Steelers to the 07 Patriots, wondering, could they go undefeated? Now we're wondering, will they win a playoff game? Pittsburgh's dropped three in a row, including last night's shocking loss to the Bengals. If I just said, look at the stats and tell me who won that game, you'd go, well, Pittsburgh did. Because Bengals didn't do much, but neither did the Steelers. This is a Bengal team the Steelers had beaten 11 consecutive times. You got a veteran coach. You got a Hall of Fame quarterback. It's hard to understand what's gone wrong. We can say COVID. We can say injuries on the defensive side of the ball. We can say there's no running game. You're the Pittsburgh Steelers playing the Bengals. Joe Burrow wasn't playing. It was Ryan Finley. Receivers dropping the ball, no running game. But you know what was more alarming? The Steelers got pushed around physically by Cincinnati. You don't expect that with the Mike Tomlin team. And the Steelers don't get a break in the final 2 weeks. They got the Colts, and I believe they're underdog against the Colts. And then they got the Browns to end the season. So they're going to go against two playoff teams. They got to rediscover some energy here that they had earlier in the season. We talked about this a while ago where I said you can't throw the ball 40 or 50 times. You just can't. And you know, Ben is not capable of doing that week in and week out. He doesn't look sharp. I know he said, you know, the timing's not great, that he said he wants to come back for another year. But they got to find something here, and they got to find it quickly, because they could be headed towards a very, very short postseason. And here we are talking about them. Could they go undefeated? I don't think anybody thought they were great, but I think people thought, well, maybe there's some magic here. But, you know, they lost two really good young defensive players there. And without any running game, and the receivers not holding on to the football, Ben needs help to look good. You know, it's like Phillip Rivers with the Colts. You know, you need a team. It takes a village here. And Ben did not look good last night. They just looked like they were mailing it in. They went through the motions. And I kept thinking, don't let a young team that has no business winning this game almost become emboldened. Like you could see the confidence level rising with the Bengals. And all of a sudden, the Steelers are then trying to match them, you know, 17-10. And I go, okay, maybe here they go. And they never had that extra gear. But give credit to the Bengals. They have nothing to play for. And they went out and won that game. This program brought to you by MasterClass. Take me up on this offer. There's over 90 classes on a variety of topics, and they're taught by world-class masters at the top of their field. Photography, you want to learn how to write a script for a TV show. You want to learn about comedy. You want to learn about playing basketball, shooting basketball. Steph Curry will help you with that. Even tennis, Serena Williams. There's over 90 classes. If you buy a membership, you get another annual membership for all of these classes for free. Go to masterclass.com/Patrick. Masterclass.com/Patrick. Here is Mike Tomlin after last night's loss, talking about sort of where is this team confidence-wise.
Mike, what's your sense regarding your team's confidence level, and are you concerned it's getting a little fragile?
Should we better not be confident after a performance like that. I'm not concerned about our confidence. We got work to do.
Yeah, and you got 2 weeks to kind of figure this out before you get to the postseason. But we'll talk to Tony Dungy coming up. Like, what happened? Because the Steelers, you know, they were winning games. They may not have looked impressive. I go back to that game against the Ravens. What was that, like a Wednesday morning game? I forget. You know, this NFL season's been crazy. Might have been Wednesday morning, you know, like a 7:30 kickoff. And I'm watching going, the Ravens have no business being in this game. Steelers were dropping the football. They just kind of went through the motions again. This time of the year, you look for these teams that are peaking, that there's that uptick on them, the teams that are really fighting to get into the postseason. And it felt like the Steelers got to a certain level, and then they leveled off. And you can't let that happen. And they're paying the price right now. All right, McLovin, what kind of poll question do you have for me?
Okay, off the Steelers' loss, who is the least scary AFC playoff team? If I gave you these choices, the Bills, the Steelers, the Browns, the Ravens, the Colts, or the Titans. I'm not putting the Chiefs in there. Who's the one team you want to face in the first round of the playoffs?
Well, I would say Pittsburgh. I know it's recency bias, but I think it's not just last night recency. It's the last couple of weeks where you look at them and you go, they're kind of paper lions here. They don't strike me as formidable. And, you know, they've kind of proven that. Yeah, McLovin.
But if we put that poll up, don't you think the Browns still win that just because of history?
I wouldn't say that because the Browns to me are peaking. Like they're doing what you're supposed to do to close out a regular season. You know, you beat a Giants team that you might say, okay, they're the Giants. You went to the Giants and that's a Giants team that's played well, played hard, and could still win that division. Winning those games is really important. That's why when you go, well, they're playing the Giants. Well, the Steelers were playing the Bengals. So I have to use, you know, the same thought process, same formula to go, well, they're playing the Giants. You're playing the Bengals, and you couldn't beat the Bengals. So what's, you know, if you look at the who's more formidable, well, the Giants are more formidable. And the Browns ended up winning that game. So the Browns are not going to be an easy out. And I might be in the minority here. It comes down to Baker Mayfield. If Baker plays the way he's played, don't try to do too much. You don't get style points in the NFL. You just want points. Run the football, play some good defense, don't make mistakes, and you're going to be a tough out, in my opinion. But if Pittsburgh is one-sided, one-dimensional, I mean, imagine being one-dimensional. Your receivers don't hang on to the football. You've got a quarterback who, he wasn't mobile. He's really immobile now. And you got suspicions about his knee and his arm. Other than that, and your defense isn't going to win games for you the way it once did. Pittsburgh's got a lot. They got to look in the mirror and go, who are we now? And or can we reclaim what we once were? Yeah, McLovin.
Where's Baltimore in that picture?
Baltimore would scare me. Absolutely, because it feels like they're getting healthier. You know, came back from some COVID issues, and we talked about this. Baltimore is going to get healthier, and that should be scary because all it takes is a magical moment for Lamar Jackson. And you got a Super Bowl-winning coach. You got a good defense. I don't like their weapons, wide receivers, but they have a running game, and they would be formidable. They would be dangerous in a one-and-done scenario. Absolutely. What else?
By the way, I want to put that poll up just to see what everyone says about the Titans and the Colts too, because you've talked about those two teams a lot, but I still don't have a sense of how dangerous they are.
I think the Colts are as balanced as anybody. I really do. Both sides of the ball, I think they are extremely balanced. They've got weapons. Defense is good. They are – Frank Reich's a good coach. They are – they're sneaky. They almost remind me of the way the Titans did last year, where you're not quite sure what you have, and it might be one of those where you go, whoa, why didn't we see this coming? The Titans, that show travels. You know, Tannehill has proven me wrong. I mean, he's a good quarterback. And you got Derrick Henry. I like Vrabel. Not afraid. You know, the question is, can the defense be a great defense, very good defense in the postseason? Derrick Henry can make everybody better. Now, very few people in the NFL who make everybody better. Derrick Henry makes the line better, your quarterback better, wide receivers better. The defense stays off the field. So imagine that. How many guys are like that? Derrick Henry is one of probably five players in the NFL who makes everybody, both sides of the ball, better. Yeah, Paul.
Here's a couple of AFC stats. The Tennessee Titans have scored 436 points on offense this year. The Chiefs have scored 435.
Yeah.
That's kind of a surprising one.
Yeah.
Of all the teams that are basically in the playoffs for the AFC right now, the Browns are the only team that's been outscored on the season. The Browns are 10-4, but they've been outscored by 6 points. In comparison, the Colts have outscored their opponents by 79 points. The Miami Dolphins are 9-5, but they've outscored their opponents by 95 points this year.
Well, factor this in as well. The Chiefs have won 9 in a row. Okay? After they beat the Saints, they've won 9 in a row. The margin of victory in the last 6 games, 2-4-3-6-6-3. That's also something to factor in. If you stay in the game with them, then somebody's got a great chance, obviously, of knocking them off. They're not blowing people out. You would think with that offense, they would be blowing people out, and they're not. They keep you in the game. And we've said that that is maybe their Achilles heel. They let you hang around. Even the Saints. I didn't think the Saints were anywhere near the Chiefs in that game on Sunday. But they hung around. Look at these games. No matter who they play, they allow you to hang around. And in the postseason, it'll be different. Teams will take a chance. You might get a big play. You might surprise them, take the lead, you know, force Mahomes to go 80 yards to win a game to advance. But the Titans can do this. I think the Ravens can do this. The Colts can do this. And the Browns can do this, in my opinion. Not that they will, but they can. Yeah, McLovin.
We got a tweet asking about the Dolphins, who I left out of that poll question. Where do they stand in this picture?
I think they can play great defense. We saw that against Kansas City. I just wonder about the offense. Yeah, I'm waiting to see if they have that capability of hitting another gear, because you're going to have to score. If you're going to play Kansas City, you're going to have to put up 24, maybe 28. You're going to have to do that. And I don't know if Miami can do that. Now, you're not going to be playing Kansas City in Miami. You're going to be playing Kansas City in Kansas City. But I like what Flores has done. I thought they were a year ahead of their schedule last year. Right now, you look at them, and they're a legitimate team. But, you know, Buffalo's another team. I left them out as well. Buffalo's going to be playing Kansas City in Kansas City. It'll come down to Josh Allen if he's able to continue to make these plays with his arm and his legs. But that's a good team, solid team, and is right up there with the Colts as a balanced team, in my opinion. And Josh Allen has really taken big steps now in improving accuracy. Like that was my big concern. Was he able to fit the ball in tight windows? Was he trying to do too much? Did he get back there and have one read and then just duck and go? Like, those things I don't want to see out of my quarterback. But that is a good team and will be a tough team to beat in Buffalo. Yeah, McLovin.
We're painting a really tough picture for the AFC playoffs.
It is.
This could be brutal to get through this.
I mean, the NFC is flawed. I don't know who's going to be healthy enough to be the Saints quarterback. I don't trust Brady and the Buccaneers. Seattle, Russell Wilson, where are you? What could have been? It's almost like the Packers by default, but that run defense that they've got, not good. You got home field advantage for Aaron Rodgers. That's rare. You know, do I trust the Bears or the Cardinals if they get in? The Rams? The NFC looks really flawed. Watch the NFC win the Super Bowl. AFC is tough. That's deep. Yeah, Ton.
Yeah, any thoughts that you had about the Rams doing anything? I can't imagine that not being thrown out the window after that.
Well, it's one game. You know, you can't do that. You can't go, that's one game. Oh, my God, this is who they are. Because I can't go one game where somebody looks incredible and then go, oh, that's who they are. Like, I don't know that. Like, I just want to make sure that we're looking at teams and you want to know what they're going to look like in 3 weeks, 4 weeks when it comes to the postseason. But, no, the Rams, I think, can still be very good. You know, but it comes down, I mean, there's no excuse for that. This time of the year, no excuse for that. In a competitive division, you know, the Niners are not a factor, but Arizona is, and Seattle certainly is, and the Jets come to town, and you play like that, you know, lethargic. And they did sort of the same thing the Steelers did, where you go, yeah, we're playing the Jets. We'll kick in. Who's going to step? Is anybody going to nobody step? We're in trouble. We lost. Like, that's the feeling you get sometimes when you see a good team playing a bad team. Ah, he'll pick it. You know, TJ, he'll – wait, what? Yeah, you lost the game. To the Bengals? Yeah, you did. You lost to the Jets. What? No, we didn't. Wait, it's over? Yes, it's over. Yeah, Paul.
Is that hat Todd's wearing safe? Because it's a ski cap with batteries and there's lights going off. I guess it can't make his hair fall out, but what if he took it off in 3 hours and he had a huge head of hair? Like, it had the adverse reaction.
Like an orange and blue, like afro. Wouldn't that be awesome? That'd be pretty cool.
All I ask is, if
you don't want to get electrocuted.
If something tragic happens, just make sure it's on the air. It's all about content, okay? Like, if your head catches fire, your hat catches fire.
Make sure the cameras are pointing in my direction.
Yeah, exactly. Like, do you see the camera, that one that is pointed towards you, something tragic happens, make sure you just play to the camera.
I will make sure if I get any kind of weird tingling sensation, yes, or something's gone awry, I will find the appropriate camera.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Todd. Where, you guys aren't in the festive spirit there? McLovin? Polly? Seton? What's going on?
I wear a sort of Christmassy sweater yesterday, and the reviews were so bad. Which, by the way, you don't want to read Twitter on your sweater after the first segment.
And do I care? No.
That's the point, right? Of an
no,
ugly sweater?
I don't care.
Go big.
How many people have their likeness on their sweater? I do. I don't like the likeness, but it's almost like a likeness of me, but I got my sweater on and it's me. That's the whole thing. These are... Now do people understand? Let me stand up for you, Twitter.
That's great.
Oh, that's me.
Right. Does it there. Say something on there, too?
I think it says badass.
Badass, yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Merry Christmas from the badass.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know what it says. It says Gatorade, but...
Oh, is that what
that... Yeah, that says Gatorade.
Brought to you by...
Yeah.
I couldn't read it.
Yeah, there was nothing I could do about the Gatorade portion of this. Yeah.
But they like, was it say catchphrase or something? No, like, trying to see.
No.
Sorry. This might be going.
I got my sweater here. But, you know.
I have a tree back there.
Yeah, I see it. I see it. Wait till tomorrow. Todd and I are going to deck the halls.
Is that what we're doing?
Yes. Is it boughs of holly?
It could be. It could very well be that.
What is
bowels of holly? Bowels of holly.
That's what you said, right?
Yeah.
Bowels or bowels?
I don't know. Is it bowels of holly? Don't you do that every day?
Pretty
you,
much.
You
depends
deck the
depends
halls?
What I eat on the commute in, but that could definitely affect
you. Deck the hall with your bowels of holly.
Expect that.
Yeah, that's not a, that's a good thing. So Tony Dungy is going to join us coming up next.
Why would you do that to Tony Dungy? That's not an intro.
I just wondered, like, who came up with deck the halls with bowels of holly?
Valid point. I don't know what a bow is. Do you know what a bow even is?
That's why I brought it up, Todd. I don't know.
I know it's spelled, I think, B-O-U-G-H. Other than being able to spell it, I wouldn't be able to point out a bow if I saw it.
Do you know where I ranked in my high school graduation class? And we know where you ranked, Todd.
Yeah.
As you remind us.
I do remind you. I'm very proud of that accomplishment.
Yeah.
Even though it's just memorizing a bunch of stuff and spitting it back on paper.
But you still did it better than we did.
I guess, but, you know, there's something to be said for street smarts and awareness and functioning in society as opposed to, you know, the Pythagorean theorem and periodic table of the elements.
I just memorized sports stuff because I thought that would help me later in life.
It somehow worked out well for
yes,
you.
Yes, it did. Pythagorean theorem. When's the last time you used it?
Just not recently. Once in the grocery store, but they gave me this weird look. I had a coupon. I was trying to explain why I get $1.19. They didn't understand what I was saying.
Tony Dungy will join us coming up next here on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. I don't know if they just got cold or they decided to get into the holiday spirit, but the Danettes following the lead that Todd and I set. Todd and I are very festive today. We're in the spirit, and all of a sudden, Seton and Pauly and McLovin decided to join in.
I love that. That's this is the time to do it. We got today and tomorrow. Let's do it.
Yes.
They look good.
Wait till tomorrow. Todd and I have some surprises for you if you're watching on Peacock.
Can we put that on camera, though?
Yes, we can. Okay. We will. Sunday night, NFL rushing leader Derrick Henry and the Titans battle MVP candidate Aaron Rodgers. Packers on Sunday night, 7 Eastern. They start at 7 Eastern on NBC. That's a football night in America. Through week 12, the Steelers had a one-game lead on Kansas City for the number one seed. They held the tiebreaker over Kansas City. Now, Steelers have dropped to the number three seed behind Kansas City and Buffalo, with only a tiny chance of being number one, as we bring in the Hall of Famer, Football Night in America analyst Tony Dungy. Tony, what happened to the Steelers as of late?
Well, I thought it could possibly happen 4 or 5 weeks ago. I think they lost their identity a little bit. They're winning games, not winning them in Steeler style. And I think it's caught up with them. But you know, Dan, it really is so reminiscent to me of our team in Indianapolis in 2006. We were 9-0, off to a great start. We're winning games close, but finding ways to win. And then we hit a stretch in November and December where we really struggled. And in fact, in December, we lost the game to Jacksonville 44-17. Fell from the number one seed all the way to number three. Everybody said the season was over. 6 weeks later, we're hoisting the Super Bowl trophy. We were able to get it corrected. But these guys, they're going to have to start running the football. They're going to have to get some confidence in their offensive line where they can throw some deep balls. I think people have caught up to this 5 and 6 yard passing game, and they're going to have to do something different on offense. I think it starts with getting that identity. Hey, we're the Steelers. We got to be able to run the ball in December.
Well, that's what stood out more than anything else. The Bengals were more physical than the Steelers were last night. And I never thought that I would see that. I mean, this is a Bengal defense. I mean, we really don't know the Bengals. Steelers got household names, and it didn't matter last night. The Bengals were far more the aggressor.
Bengals could not or would not throw the ball or felt like they didn't have to. They threw for about 80 yards. They're controlling the game, controlling the line of scrimmage, and then defensively the same way. They just, hey, we're going to rush the passer. We're going to sit down and play tight coverage. We don't think you're going to run. We don't think you're going to throw deep. So it's, can you get these balls off before our pressure gets there? And can your guys get open in a 5 or 6 yard space? And it was too difficult.
Okay, but what's Mike Tomlin do? Like, is there something, it's not magical. Like, what do you do? You got 2 games left against the Colts and the Browns, and then you go into the playoffs.
Well, you can get it back. Well, I'll tell you what I did in 2006. I said, we aren't making any changes. We aren't bringing in any new people. There's no saviors. What we're going to do is get back to basics. We're going to cut down on our defenses. We're going to cut down on our offensive plays. But we were able to practice back then. You could put pads on, and you could practice tackling. You could practice blocking. I'm not sure they can do that now, and that's part of the problem.
Ben says he's coming back next year. Is that good for the Steelers?
I think it depends on the way this season ends up. If he plays like they played at the beginning of the year, and Ben can be very, very good. At the beginning of the year, they're balanced, and James Conner's running the ball, and they're hitting deep shots to Chase Claypool, and everybody's saying Ben's back. Well, somehow that's been gone. They've lost the confidence that they can run the ball. And for some reason, I think maybe it's because of the pass protection. It was not very good last night off both edges. And maybe he's feeling like, I can't sit in the pocket and wait on these deep balls. So they've just become very limited on offense right now.
But also, if you're looking at this defense, you lose Bud Dupree, you lose Bush. I mean, these are two really, really good players. So you can't win games with just your defense.
You are not the same defense, and I know Mike Tomlin's not going to make excuses. I wouldn't make excuses as a coach, but you take out basically four of your best playmakers at linebacker. You take out Bush, who was a tremendous player, and then his replacement, help me with the Spillane, comes in, and we don't even know him, and he plays good ball, and now he's out, and they've got a backup safety man playing there, and he gets hurt last night. Bud Dupree, your second best pass rusher. You had that double edged effect, and now you don't have it coming off the other side. So they're missing some elements that make the Steelers defense. I can understand their defense. Their offense has to step it up and say, you know what? We are missing those guys. We've got to score more. We've got to control the ball. We've got to run it and control the clock. And that's not what they're doing right now.
He's Tony Dungy, the Hall of Famer, of course, analyst for Football Night America. All right, let's look at all of these teams in the AFC, because the AFC is stacked. Once we get to the playoffs, you know, everybody's got a flaw here. But let me start with Kansas City. I mentioned a stat that they really allow you to stay in games here, and that's going to come back and haunt them. I look at these last wins, Tony, their last six, 2.4, 3.6, 6.3. Come playoff time, they may not get that lucky.
Dan, I am worried about the Chiefs. I really am. I think they're bored. I think they're playing with fire. I think they feel like they can do whatever they want to do. You look at that game Sunday, and you're never going to see Drew Brees play as badly as he played. They had the ball for 40 minutes. They outgained them by 200 yards. New Orleans has a ton of penalties that keep things going. Just their best pass rusher gets kicked out of the game. All these things, and then it's a three-point game at the end, and they've got to make a play to win the game. Le'Veon Bell's got to make a run to run the clock out. That game should have been a three-score game, and we've seen it over and over and over again, and they always, on that last drive when they need it, they turn it on, they make a play. But in the playoffs, one-game knockout, all of a sudden that ball gets tipped on third down or, you know, something happens. I just think they're playing with fire.
And then you start to look at these other teams. The team that would have the best chance to knock off Kansas City, because you're going to have to go to Kansas City to knock them off. So who would have the best chance, in your opinion, in the AFC?
Well, forget about defense, because the Saints played the best you can play. They harassed Mahomes, and they got 32 points. So if you're going to knock them off, you have to score points. So who can go in there, play a semblance of defense, rush the passer with four guys, but move the ball and score points? Tennessee can move the ball and score points, and that ground game could be effective. I don't know if they have the defensive personnel to really hold them down. Maybe Buffalo has the best chance that you know, they're scoring and Josh Allen's playing great. Maybe they can match them with big plays and just get enough of a pass rush to do it. But Kansas City went into Buffalo and dominated that game running the football early in the year. So I'm not sure. Will Kansas City play up to their standard? If they play up to their standard for two games, I don't think anyone can beat them.
Yeah, I was wondering about the Titans, you know, because you got Derrick Henry. And, you know, can he keep his defense off the field long enough so they're fresh every time they go on there against Patrick Mahomes? I like the Colts. I think the Colts are a really balanced team. I just don't know about Phillip Rivers in a big moment, Tony.
Well, the Colts would have a chance, too, because they can move the ball. They've got a good offensive line. They could protect Rivers enough. They can hit some deep shots. Kansas City is going to give you a chance on some deep balls because they're going to play bump and run. They're going to blitz you. T.Y. Hilton, Pascal, those guys have a chance to make some big plays. They can rush the passer. If Justin Houston and DeForest Buckner could pressure without blitzing, now you make a couple of plays, you could hang in there in a high-scoring game. They would have an opportunity, I think.
Let's look at the NFC. Feels like everybody's flawed here. Green Bay looks like they're going to have home field advantage here, but a run defense concerns me here, Tone. I don't know.
That run defense is going to get tested this week, too.
Yes, it is. They're going to get a good idea of how good they are against Derrick Henry.
Will really be interesting because it's strength against weakness. The Titans do not really have a great secondary. They don't rush the passer well. That is, you know, terminal against Aaron Rodgers. But their Achilles heel, Green Bay, is run defense. And Derrick Henry is going to pound it up inside and keep those pass rushes at bay. I think we could see a real entertaining high-scoring game. But Green Bay, in that weather, they get the cold weather. What team can go up there, really? Tampa Bay, are they going to go up there and light it up in cold weather? I doubt it.
But even like Seattle, I could see them with Russell Wilson and, you know, traveling and pulling off an upset there. I don't know about the Rams. I am, every time I think I understand the Rams, you know, they surprise me here.
I was touting them as the best team in football 3 weeks ago. I thought their defense was coming around. They can pressure the passer. They played physical. And then that run game just kept really Jared Goff in good situations where he was throwing outside the pocket to open receivers. But when you take that run away and you make them really push the ball down the field, they struggle. And then, you know, the Jets game just did not look good on any front. So if you're capable of playing a game like that, when you're fighting for home field advantage, that was disappointing.
How many stockings do you have behind you, Tone?
That is that should be 12. Two, Lauren and I and all the kids. Yeah.
You didn't even know.
I had to recount.
You have 12 stockings back there. So you and your wife and then...
12 days of Christmas. Yeah, and 10 kids.
Oh, my gosh. Do you ever forget anybody's name?
I do. I was thinking about that as I went. Dad asked me, everybody, can I get them all? And I could get them all. Don't know if I could get them in order, but I could get them all.
Kevin Green passing away at the age of 58. You know, that seems like the last generation of those that just played football and they weren't worried about their health. I don't know, you know, what Kevin died of, but at age 58, and he was one of the great pass rushers, there was almost a WWE feel. He was a wrestler out there. He embraced it. The hair, he didn't mind being a bad guy. He was entertaining. What comes to mind when I say Kevin Green?
Oh, just a warrior. And that one really hurts, Dan. We all went in the 2016 class. And when you go in as a Hall of Fame class, you become close. You're like brothers and you stay in touch with each other. And to have one of our classmates pass away, it really, really, it hit hard. Yeah.
Good to talk to you. And Merry Christmas. Hopefully it's great. How young is your youngest?
5.
Oh, okay. Gosh.
So we're still opening Christmas presents and going through that. Yeah. Our oldest daughter's 35 now. So we've got a nice 30-year spread.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable. There's a special place in heaven for you, Tone. I would say.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Keep the seat warm for me, but I don't know if I'll join you. But, you know.
Well, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about how to get you up there.
Thank you.
I love the outfits. I love the set. Tell those guys they did a great job with the set.
Thank you, buddy. Merry Christmas. Thank you again.
All right.
Thanks,
DP. Great to talk to you.
Tony Dungy, Hall of Famer. Hall of Fame dad as well. I looked back and I saw all those stockings and I went, 1, 2, 3, 4. That's a lot. So him and his wife, and then they got 10 kids. Because he adopts these kids. He's really pretty amazing when... And he said, he would come into New York and we would be doing Football Night in America. I said, aren't you afraid of leaving your wife alone? She might adopt another child. And he laughed because he knew that that was a distinct possibility. Yes, Eaton.
He's putting in a good word for you, though.
Yeah, and I need
upstairs,
that.
Yeah, that's nice of him.
For the good man. Yeah. All right, we'll come back. Play of the Day's up next here on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play, the play of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
They're going to play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Zach Thomas out of the pistol with Cameron Peoples. This is Peoples again, going to the house.
Touchdown.
This time, 62 yards.
Courtesy of the mothership there, Appalachian State's Cameron Peoples, an appropriate name, C-A-M-E-R-U-N, Cameron Peoples, finished with 317, five touchdowns, going on to beat North Texas. You know, from 2015 to 2019, the FBS had zero players have 300 or more yards rushing and five touchdowns in a game. This year there have been two. Jared Patterson of Buffalo versus Kent State rushed for 400 yards and eight touchdowns. That is your play of the day, brought to you by MasterClass. Over 90 classes, variety of topics, all taught by world-class masters at the top of their field. This holiday, when you buy an annual membership, get another annual membership for free. Go to MasterClass.com/Patrick. Paulie says we have a bonus play of the day.
Yeah, Dan, I didn't ask permission because I was afraid you'd say no, but you know I went to Southern Illinois University, and my Salukis snapped Butler University's 59-game non-league winning streak, and here's how it sounded.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play is going to play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
I'm going to play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Southern is up three. On the inbound, they look, and they look, and they with two. He forces a three. No good. Rebound, Jones. Southern wins. Salukis win. And the Dogs upset Butler at Butler. The final, Salukis 76, Butler 73.
Oh, 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 oh. Well, congratulations.
Mike Reese on the call.
Congratulations there to Southern Illinois. NBA opens up tonight. You got a doubleheader. You've got Warriors, Nets, Clippers, Lakers. I like these verbal bouquets that Kevin Durant is tossing out against his former team, the Golden State Warriors. He had this to say yesterday about facing the Golden State Warriors.
I seen Draymond in the summer. We ran into each other at a restaurant. It's good to see him and his family. You know, talk to Steph a couple of times. And so it's good to see from afar, see everybody's doing well and realize that these bonds that we created will never be broken no matter what jerseys we put on. It's like when you see guys you won a championship win, you had long playoff runs with, you know, you have a different connection. So I'm very grateful for my time in the Bay Area, and I'll always be a Warrior in my heart.
So he's a Warrior in his heart. What is he, a Net? Is he a Net in his head? And what is he with the Oklahoma City Thunder? But by the way, that music wasn't with Kevin Durant. They added that music there. The Dubs Talk on NBC Sports Bay Area, I think they put in the music. It's not like Kevin Durant came equipped with his own music. The Warriors and the Nets coming up tonight. What could have been with Klay Thompson? Clippers and the Lakers, that'll be coming up tonight as well. A lot of love for Luka Doncic for MVP. And if he averages a triple-double, they make the playoffs. I could see that. Anthony Davis getting a lot of love here. I don't know if it's a long list of players who can win this. And, you know, does Kawhi, does he factor in here? How much is load management going to be part of this upcoming season? Because you're taking 10 games off. I don't know how much LeBron plays during the regular season. I wonder if minutes are limited or he just doesn't play in games. Because if you limit his minutes, then his stats go down. Because if you don't play a game, that doesn't affect your stats. And I think Anthony Davis, does he take the step, next step, that he is the best player on the floor? Because I looked for that last year. I thought if Anthony Davis plays the way he should play, he should be the best player on the floor. But LeBron was still the best player. Maybe Anthony Davis takes a little bit of the load off LeBron James during the regular season. There's also the possibility of James Harden. Is he going to get traded? I talked to my source with the Miami Heat, and I told you they were serious about James Harden. I just didn't know what they could offer. And I was told that they said to the Houston Rockets, Bam Adebayo is not part of the trade equation here. He's not involved in the talks. And I think that's where things came to a screeching halt. That no Bam Adebayo. Hey, are you interested in Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson and maybe some draft picks? And right now, Houston said no. I brought this up a couple of days ago. A lot of times we see what's in front of us and go, well, he's either going to the Sixers or the Nets. Then Miami came in. And I said, it's not always the team you think that he would be going to or you expect him to go to. Kyrie went to Boston. I don't know how many people thought, boy, Kyrie's going to go to Boston. Gordon Hayward ends up in Charlotte. These are just two recent examples. Denver is still in the mix here, I believe. 76ers are still in the mix. I don't know if the Nets are. The Celtics have emerged, but the Celtics are always involved. If you go back recent history, when there's a big-time free agent, somehow the Celtics are always involved, but they never do anything. They don't pull the trigger. Like, they got Kemba Walker. Okay. But they don't do these big deals, but they're always Anthony Davis. Celtics are in on this. Okay. And now maybe James Harden in Boston. It feels like that's just Danny Ainge's MO as the GM. Hey, we're involved. Okay. I'll believe it when I see it. Yeah, Seton.
Could that just be an agent sort of drumming up interest and like, oh no, look at all these teams that are the Celtics are interested too. Maybe like they're sort of the team that agents use as.
Well, all it takes is the Celtics to say, we're not interested in him. You know, if there is something where they go, no, we're not interested in him. I haven't heard that the Celtics aren't interested or Denver's not interested. I heard that Miami said, no, we're not trading Bam Adebayo. If you can trade Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson, sure. I can get James Harden. Sure, I'd try it. But I don't think James Harden, you know, it ramped up a couple of days ago. Well, he's going to get traded before the start of the season. I go, I don't think so. I mean, he might, but I don't think that's going to happen with James Harden here. And I still like, if I was going to bet on it, Daryl Morey with the 76ers, Daryl Morey is going to play the long game here and, you know, maybe wait so it gets worse before it gets better in Houston. And then maybe you go, we got to do addition by subtraction. And, Daryl wants to hold on to Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. I understand that. Do I think that he would still part with Ben Simmons? I do. I would keep Ben Simmons. I'm in the minority on this. Ben Simmons can thrive with James Harden. I don't know if Joel Embiid can. But I think Ben Simmons, the role that he plays, he doesn't have to shoot. And that, to me, you got to factor that in. Why are you cringing there? What's the face there, McLovin? What with the 76ers?
I don't see Ben Simmons part of a winning formula in 2020 NBA. I just don't see it. I mean, because he can't shoot.
All right. Coming up, Aqib Talib, former Pro Bowl defensive back, Fox Sports analyst. I like what I've heard so far from him. He'll join us coming up. Dan Patrick Show.